Coming to temple tonight. I'm so excited. I was hoping we'd have 10 people. You are the faithful. God is watching you from a distance. You came to temple between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Actually, Shabbat Shuvah, historically, was the only Friday night of the year that rabbis gave sermons. And so I think that was, they didn't give sermons on High Holy Days. So if you wanted to hear the rabbis speak, you had to come on Shabbat Shuvah. And I'm not giving a sermon tonight. we're not following that tradition. But that was why there were crowds on Shabbat Shuvah historically. So welcome to the first Shabbat of 5778. We are thrilled that you are all here tonight. This is going to be, for those of you who are old-timers, an old-fashioned TBS service, the old blue prayer book, Shabbat Shuvah, the way we used to do it. And when the temple first started once a month, I had brought the tradition with me from New Hyde Park, New York. Once a month, I used to do Ask Your Rabbis. This is kind of old-timers night. If you're a new-timer, we're thrilled that you're here. We really are. If you weren't around when the temple started, we're really glad you're still, you're here. So, please, we're thrilled, each and every one of you, we're thrilled that you're here. I am especially thrilled tonight that Ann Herman is here. Ann is 95 and a half years young. She still hikes. She still walks. She is my role model. And she came here by herself from Greenspring. So if anybody is going in that direction, I do not want her to have to take a Lyft or an Uber home. See me at Oneg so that we can make sure that Ann is loved. Otherwise, Gary and I will take her home tonight. But Ann is going to get loved tonight. We want you to feel loved by your temple. So we are really blessed to have so many members in their 90s. And so we are thrilled and we want you to feel taken care of. Whatever brought you here tonight, I hope you find it. Whether you're here to pray for a loved one or to remember a loved one, whether Rosh Hashanah services inspired you so much that you made a pledge you're going to come every Friday, whatever might have happened over these holiest days, I'm really glad that we're sharing services together. I gave Rabbi Rappaport the night off. She showed up as a congregant. I gave Rob the night off. He showed up as a congregant. Rachel and I are thrilled, but it is really very telling here at B'nai Shalom that people don't even want a night off. So we're thrilled that you're all here. Our opening song tonight is L'cha Dodi. It can be found on page 736 and 7. We'll sing our usual verses, which in the traditional L'cha Dodi are 1, 2, 5, and 9. Why Rabbi 1, 2, 5, and 9? Those are the ones that were theologically not reprehensible to our Reformed Jewish ancestors.
Shabbat Shalom.
have to introduce you. So we're talking about Temple B'nai Shalom history. How many of you have seen the Ark at Minyan Makers? That's our original Ark. It was built by Gary Shoemaker. I think one of the first times we used it was in Barbara Lubar's family room, but it used to sit at Abiding Presence. The curtain on the Ark is still, for me, one of the treasures of Temple B'nai Shalom, because 31 years ago, I asked our only congregational artist, Amy Ahrens, if she would make this holy curtain for our congregation and put on it the symbols of learning, the pomegranates. And that curtain is as beautiful and perfect today as the day she put it on the Ark. And I think it's because it was created with so much love. And so when I look at that Ark and I look at that curtain, I think of how amazing our community has been in terms of just really all of us pulling together and each person putting their own stitch in the fabric of B'nai Shalom. Aside from that wonderful bit of Jewish trivia, A is for Aaron's, an altar, and these people who for 30 years always end up with this Shabbat for Oneg. And, you know, you'd think after 30 years we'd give them a reprieve or start with a Z. You know, maybe when I retire they'll change the roster, but I have nothing to do with that. So because A has been for Aaron's for over 30 years, it's my pleasure to welcome Barry and Amy to light the Shabbat candles for us on page 117.
I think this is the first.
Okay, source of mercy, continue your loving care for us and our loved ones. Give us strength to walk in your presence on the paths of the righteous, loyal to your Torah, steadfast in goodness. Keep far from us all shame, grief, and anguish. Fill our homes with peace, light, and joy. O God, fountain of life, by your light do we see light. Blessed is the Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who hallows us with his mitzvot and commands us to kindle the lights of Shabbat. May God bless us with Shabbat joy. May God bless us with Shabbat holiness. May God bless us with Shabbat peace.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kitchanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu l'chadlik ner shel Shabbat.
Part of the earliest tradition of Shabbat evening worship was the reciting of psalms, certain psalms specifically designated for Shabbat joy. Psalm 96, Shiru L'Adonai Shir Chadash, is one of those songs. And we don't just sing this psalm, we live it as a commandment.
Ah.
We rise for the Baruch Hu on page 129.
Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamivorach, Baruch Adonai Hamvorach, Leolam Vaed.
Page 130. Unending is your love for your people, the house of Israel. Torah and mitzvot, laws and precepts have you taught us. Therefore, O Lord our God, when we lie down and when we rise up, we will meditate on your laws and rejoice in your Torah and mitzvot forever. Day and night we will reflect on them, for they are our life and the length of our days. Then your love shall never depart from our hearts. Blessed is the Lord who loves his people Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai.
Adonai Elohecha, v'chol levavcha, u'v'chol nafshecha, u'v'chol me'odecha. V'hayu hadvarim ha'ele, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, al levavcha. V'shinantam levanecha, v'dibarta bam, v'shivtecha v'veitecha, u'v'lechtecha v'aderech, u'v'shachvecha u'v'kumecha. Ukshartam laot al yadecha, vehayu litotafot bein enecha, uchtavtam al mezuzot betecha, uvisharecha. Lema'an tizkeru v'asitem et kol mitzvotai, v'item kedoshim l'elohechem. Ani Adonai Elohechem, asher hotzeti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim, lehiot lachem l'elohim. Ani Adonai Elohecham. A question I don't get asked as often as I should. Rabbi, why in the High Holy Day Machzor does it say, in the seventh month you shall have a blowing of the shofar? I always wait for somebody to go, no, Rabbi, it's the first month. And that is because, according to the Torah, Passover is the first holiday in the Jewish calendar. And the first of Nisan is technically the first day of the year. There were four different Jewish calendars, and only one of them, the Canaanite calendar, had this as the beginning of the year. So when we absorb the Canaanite calendar, we move Tishrei to greater prominence. Also, when we become a truly agricultural people, the money harvest came at Sukkot. And so Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur led up to the celebrations of Sukkot, which were quite wild and crazy, a little bit more than brotherhood putting up a sukkah and sisterhood decorating it. So wild and crazy that I will discuss it with you at Oneg. I can't even put it on the podcast. So our original new year was our freedom. And then over time, we came to the soberness of these holiest days. So as we mix our history, we always celebrate our freedom at every service, but it is High Holy Days, and our current calendar is the one that drives our lives. So combining old and new, we sing the Micha Mocha for Shabbat Shuvah.
Micha Mocha v'heli Madonai, mi kamocha nedar b'kodesh, norat v'hilot osef ele. Adonai imloch le'olam va'ed.
Grant, O eternal God, that we might lie down in peace, and raise us up, O sovereign, to life renewed. Spread over us the shelter of your peace. Guide us with your good counsel, and for your name's sake, be our help. Shield us from hatred and plague. Keep us from war and famine and anguish. Subdue our inclination to evil. O God, our guardian and helper, our gracious and merciful ruler, give us refuge in the shadow of your wings. O guard our coming and our going, that now and always we have life and peace. Blessed is the Lord, whose shelter of peace is spread over us, over all his people Israel, and over Jerusalem. As we rise for the Avot V'Imahot, we are reminded that the asterisks for Shabbat Shuva are inserted this Shabbat, page 134. Adonai Sfatai Tivtach Ufi Yagi Tehilatecha. Eternal God, open our lips that our mouths may declare your glory. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Velohe Avotenu Elohe Avraham Elohe Yitzchak Velohe Yaakov Ha'el Hagadol Hagibor V'Hanora El Elyon Gomel Chasadim Tovim Vikone hakol, vizocher chaste avot, umevi geula ibne bnehem, lema'an shemo v'ahava, zochreinu l'chaim, melechafetz b'chaim, v'chadveinu b'sefer hachayim, lema'an cha Elohim chayim, melech ozer u'moshia u'magen, baruch ata Adonai. Magen Abraham Ezra Sarah. We read the insert in English together. Remember us unto life, for you are the King who delights in life, and inscribe us in the book of life, that your will may prevail, O God of life. Ata Gibor Leolam Adonai, Mechaye Hakol Atarav Lehoshia. Michal Kel Chaim Bechesed, Mechaye Hakol Brachamim Rabim. Samech Noflim Verofe Cholim, Umatir Asurim, Umkayem Emunato Lishene Afar. Mi Chamocha Baal Givurot, Umidel Melach, Melech Meimit Umechaye, Umatmiach Yeshua. Mi Chamocha Av Harachamim, Zocher Yitzurav Lechayim Berachamim V'ne'eman Ata Lahachayot Hakol Baruch Ata Adonai Mechaye Hakol Ata Kadosh V'Shimcha Kadosh U'Kadoshim B'chol Yom Yehallelucha Sela Baruch Ata Adonai HaMelech HaKadosh. You may be seated. We read together at the bottom of 136. Our God and God of ages past, may our rest on this day be pleasing in your sight. Sanctify us with your mitzvot, and let your Torah be our way of life.
Satisfy us
with your goodness, gladden us with your salvation, and purify our hearts to serve you in truth. In your gracious love, O Lord our God, let your holy Sabbath remain our heritage, that all Israel, hallowing your name, may find rest and peace. Blessed is the Lord for the Sabbath and its holiness. Be gracious, O Lord our God, to your people Israel, and receive our prayers with love. O may our worship always be acceptable to you. Fill us with the knowledge that you are near to all who seek you in truth. Let our eyes behold your presence in our midst, and in the midst of our people in Zion. Blessed is the Lord, whose presence gives life to Zion and all Israel. We turn to page 391 for the special inserts for this Shabbat Shuva. We read together at the top of the page. Holy and awesome God, we stand in your presence filled with regret for our many sins and failings. Though there is greatness in us and a deep longing for goodness, we have often denied our better selves and refused to hear your voice within us, calling us to rise to the full height of our humanity. For there is weakness in us as well as strength. At times we choose to walk in darkness, our vision obscured. We do not care to look within and we are unwilling to look beyond at those who need our help. O God, we are too weak to walk unaided. Be with us as strong and wise friend, and teach us to walk by the light of your truth. Lord, our God and God of all generations, help us to break the hold that the impulse to do evil has upon our hearts. For you have created us able to do your will, but in our nature there is a wayward spirit that hinders us and keeps us from doing what we should. O Lord, our God, help us to subdue it so that we may, with a whole heart, make your will our own. We continue with Shalom Rav, which can be found on page 140. Sovereign Lord of peace, let Israel, your people, know enduring peace, for it is good in your sight continually to bless Israel with your peace. Teach us then to find our happiness in the search for righteousness and peace. Blessed is the Lord, the source of peace. At this time in our service, we turn to the back inside cover of our prayer books where we find our Misha Berach prayer. Every once in a while, we say the Misha Berach, and wonderful things happen. If you would have told me I'd get to see Stan Pekin's handsome face tonight at services, I would have said, you're kidding. To go from talking to you in the hospital to seeing you at services, obviously the Misha Berach works. I mean, I told Stan he should come up. We should say, look, he's here at services. It could be a fundraiser. Stan is always willing to do things for the congregation. Welcome home to the congregation. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you didn't have to hear this service or watch it long distance. May God give you health. We carry with us loved ones and fellow congregants who are unable to be with us tonight. Take a look at all the cards on the caring community table. There are many people who need our prayers. We send each and every one of them our love and our support and our strength. And we send their caregivers our love and our strength. So if you have people you are praying for this Shabbat, we join you. And there are so many people in Houston and in Florida and throughout Puerto Rico and all of those islands that have just been beaten down by hurricanes. And the poor people in Mexico. I mean, the world is just our little part of the world is just in so much need of healing, broken lives, and broken dreams. So our hearts are big enough to reach out way beyond our community to all those in need of healing. Communities in need of healing. Whole congregations in need of healing. For each and every one of us who come into this sanctuary in need of healing as well, there's enough healing to go around. For every single person in mind or body or spirit who is seeking more beyond themselves, we sing the Mishaberach. Silently. brave to agree to do this? This is, does the rabbi's brain still work in Rosh Hashanah? Well, we're going to see. So let's take a look at some of your questions. If I sit down, can you see me? It's the same as if I stand up. Why is there a reader's Kaddish during the service? How is that different from the Kaddish we all say? Superb question. There are four Kaddishes in Judaism. The reader's Kaddish, which is called the Chatzi Kaddish, the half Kaddish, the mourner's Kaddish, Kaddish de Rabbanan, the Kaddish that you say for the rabbis, and the Kaddish that is said especially at the cemetery by traditional Jews. Which is a different kind of Kaddish, which we say only once during the year, and that's going to be at Yom Kippur at the end of the service. You know all those low tones, and I'm reading by myself, and you're all going, what is she reading? That's the fourth Kaddish, which doesn't get used very often. It's the only place it appears in the Reform movement is in the Yom Kippur service. So the origin of the Kaddish. When the prayer book, before the prayer book was really being established, there were communities, and communities were trying to figure out how to use prayers and how to acknowledge life cycle events. And what I love about the Reader's Kaddish is the Reader's Kaddish, which we rabbis affectionately call the comma of the traditional service, because the purpose of the Reader's Kaddish is to tell you, we are moving from one part of the service to another. In the days when rabbis didn't talk to the congregation, or there might not have been a rabbi leading worship, a Reader's Kaddish says, section A is ending, section B is beginning. When I was a little girl in a traditional congregation, all I knew is that they said the Reader's Kaddish a million times. You know, oh, early prayers are done, Reader's Kaddish, Baruch Hu is coming. Reader's Kaddish, Torah service is coming. Reader's Kaddish, oh, we're almost done. I'm not telling you the fact that my finger used to go numb because I kept it at Aleinu because all I wanted was Oneg. Services to me were all about yellow cake with chocolate icing. So Oneg can actually turn people into rabbis, but that's another answer. So the Reader's Kaddish actually was the comma of the service. It was the way people actually got to know how the service was moving. And it is an affirmation of the kingdom of God. It has absolutely nothing to do with death. But the little known fact about the Reader's Kaddish is how it became associated, the main Kaddish became associated with death. People who came, who were in mourning, needed to be acknowledged by the community. I look around, some of you are here because you're in mourning, or you're ending your year of mourning. These are important moments. And so with all the different readers' kaddishes in the service, different people were asked to stand up in their time of grieving to lead the readers' kaddish. And it was the way for the community to say, pumpernickel is hurting, rye bread needs a little extra help. You know, Jochen Flatz needs our support because he lost his child. And so the Reader's Kaddish became a wonderful way to acknowledge people in their grief. And so even though it doesn't really refer to grief, that's how the two became associated in the earliest times of the establishment of the prayer book. Oh, I love this question. Where is Oneg tonight? Well, we never... We did not think about Oneg tonight. I just want you to know. I was here all day. We did not think about Oneg tonight. We were dealing with, oh, Andrew's going to come in and set up for Yom Kippur. Let's make sure we have the right seats, all of that. No, Oneg arrived. You know, we didn't really think about it. So Oneg is in the lobby, and there's a lot of it. Because when I looked in the kitchen, I said, wow, we're having 10 people and 10 platters. So I'm really glad there's a lot of it because clearly the people who ordered knew you would come. Why do we have Oneg? Oh, I love this question. So the history of Oneg, the longer term Oneg Shabbat. Where is the first appearance of the word Oneg Shabbat? In the Mishneh Torah written by Maimonides, probably written between 1170 and 1180, is the first mention of the term Oneg Shabbat. It has nothing to do with dessert. Maimonides is teaching in that passage that even if you are dirt poor, even if you don't have two coins to rub together, on Shabbat you are obligated to ta'anug, to just what it says, hitgangu. You have to enjoy the Sabbath. So Onuk Shabbat became a phrase that Maimonides coins for really owning the Sabbath as your own. You're not supposed to wallow in your poverty. You're supposed to make Shabbat special. Now, we know that in Exodus 31, in Vishamru, there's the word hitangu, but it's really Maimonides who commands people that they really need to have Onek Shabbat. When did the food come in? The food comes in when Chaim Nachman Bialik, that great European poet who wrote in Hebrew, who tried to revitalize the Hebrew language, left Europe because he had this, you know, he went from Eastern Europe, then he went to Germany, and then in 1924 he goes to Tel Aviv. And in Tel Aviv, he's bringing his poetry and he's bringing his publishing and all of those things, and he invents Oneg Shabbat. And for Israelis, this was a cultural shift. It was a paradigm shift. Saturday afternoon, you could walk into any Israeli's house and there would be coffee and cake. And when I was growing up as a teenager in Israel, that's what I loved most. Is we used to go, when I would visit a family from school, you would go from neighbor to neighbor, the coffee, the cake, the tea, it was all on the table, and you just went from one house to the next. So I could come to Deb's house and she would have cake ready. Now, there was some competition on the cake, but that's a whole other story. Some of it was dry. Never at the Glicklands. So Bialik says, we're going to create a community. And we're going to create a community where Shabbat exists, and Shabbat is going to be what Maimonides wanted it to be. And so Bialik is credited with creating Onik Shabbat on Saturdays. And now the rest of the story, which you will probably not find in most books at all. And that is how did Onik Shabbat come to be Friday night in synagogues? And the answer is architecture. Early synagogues had no social space. Early synagogues, you've traveled all over the world. There's a bima in the center. It's beautiful. David photographs it. And they go, isn't that lovely? David brings home the photograph. He shows it to me. Where is there a place? If you want to have a kiddush or cake or whatever, it's in the back of the sanctuary. And then we come to America. And in America, we start to build, based on the writings, really, of Mordechai Kaplan, the founder of the Reconstructionist movement, who wrote a book that was over 700 pages, Judaism as a Civilization. And in it, he suggests that we have the social hall. Why? Because Jews need a place to congregate. We weren't called congregations before America. America is a congregationalist country. We borrowed that from the Protestants. And so they built all over America synagogues with social halls. Now, if you go to places like Manhattan, you'll see that places like Central Synagogue and Temple Emmanuel weren't originally built with social halls. I remember going to Central Synagogue once and saying, oh, you have to go like across the street to have Oneg? But those older buildings were not designed with that in mind. The architecture of the suburban synagogue of the 1950s was sprawling. How many of you grew up in one of those synagogues with a social, social hall? It was great. It gave you a place to have Oneg, a place for the caterer to have bar and bat mitzvahs, and overflow seating for high holy days. How small can we make the sanctuary? How big can we make the social hall? Because after all, we're going to need bazaars and all of these other things that the social hall will do. But the social hall is really what happened to create Onik Shabbat for Jews in America. A little bit of Jewish trivia. Can you explain the Jewish significance of the Vulcan greeting? Live long and prosper. We just read this in confirmation class. Leonard Nimoy was Jewish. Bless you, bless you. He was a member of Temple Israel of Hollywood. And when they needed a symbol, he thought back to the earliest Jewish symbol for God, Shaddai, the oldest name for God in the Torah, in the book of Genesis, Almighty. People think that the shin on your mezuzah stands for Shema, which is what's in the mezuzah. No, it stands for Shaddai. And some of you actually have the three letters Shaddai written on your mezuzot. Now, there is one mezuzah in this building, that was hung upside down, and the shin is upside down. I've left it there thinking, well, somebody will catch it, and when they do, I'll turn it upside down. It's been there since 1995, and no one has ever found the upside down mezuzah. So anyway, the shin was the name for God, and Nimoy wanted to add kind of like a secret Jewish society. So he says, he just came up with it, and it stuck. Now, the rest of the story. Why is the priestly benediction like this? Well, there are all kinds of explanations, that it's, you know, the windows of God and all of that. I had a congregant who was a hand surgeon who sent me an article, which I still have somewhere in my files, that this is actually a test for leprosy. A leper cannot do this. Now, some of you can't do it. It just means you can't be priests. And you're not as cool as the rest of us who obviously have Vulcan blood. In my ancestry DNA, you know, in my 23andMe, I'm like part Vulcan. So anyway, this was a leprosy test because there's a nerve in your hand that if you have leprosy, you can't do this. And so hand surgeons actually believe that it was actually a test to make sure that the priests didn't have leprosy. Okay. Did I miss anything, Frank?
Nothing.
All right, if I missed part of the Vulcan whatever, and if you want to speak Klingon, talk to Frank at Onik. Let's see. With working every day in Jewish aspects, what is your personal prayer routine, or how do you connect to God? I connect to God every day, all the time. Ask Gary. God and I are constantly in connection. I pray every morning. And sometimes I pray in here, but a lot of times I pray before I get here. Because I determined early on that if I didn't have my daily practice, I would lose something. So I pray and study Torah and read in quiet. I need a lot of quiet time. Very often, and I don't use a prayer book, and that I think is what's unique. I've developed my own prayer ritual. I do it all from memory. I sing it all. I don't use melodies we use here. I use melodies that have just developed. Like I only sing the Debbie Friedman Shema. I don't know why. It's not the Shema I grew up with. But I do my whole thing. So if some of you like feel like an oomph somewhere between 8 and 9 o'clock, if you've been sick or whatever, it's because you were stuck in my Mishra Beirach. I don't pray a lot at night. Because that's not my prayer time. My prayer time is the morning before I start my day. It grounds me. Let's see. I understand that the sacred text is is the same as the Christian Old Testament. Does anything New Testament pertain to Judaism? Well, interestingly enough, some of our books were not preserved by the Jews. In the canonization process, the rabbis cut off what they determined God actually wrote. Now, which book was debated the longest? Which book did the rabbis not want to put in the Jewish Bible? Esther. Why?
Because it doesn't have the name
of God. And for a lot of other reasons. The rabbis had a trouble with. One other reason did the rabbis not want to, if you read the discussion actually in the rabbinic texts, what other problem did they have with Esther? It was named after a woman. There is a rabbi in the text during the discussion that actually says, maybe if we change it to the Book of Mordecai, we could put it in the Bible. Yeah, I feel the same way. So there are a number of books that didn't make it into our Bible because they just couldn't say that God wrote them. And probably the most important are Maccabees. All the stories of Hanukkah are preserved in the Apocrypha, which are at the back of all your Protestant Bibles. And I'm very grateful that the Apocrypha preserved the books of Maccabees and Tobit and Ecclesiasticus and all these other books that were written by Jews but were not canonized by Jews. That's very personal. I'll answer that privately. Who's my favorite grandchild? That, you don't ask me. What's the number one thing you still haven't done on your bucket list? I don't have one. I don't have a bucket list. When I was 34 years old, they told me I was going to die. And I asked God for certain things. I wanted to watch my kids grow up. I wanted this congregation to really get its footing. I had a number of things on a list at the time. And then there came a point in my life where I realized I had done everything I wanted to do. And I don't have a bucket list, but I'm married to a man with one, so we go through his bucket list. Let's see. Okay. Let's see what else is here. In all your years as a rabbi, or just your life, have you ever lost faith? And what happened to make you almost lose faith? Once I gave up praying. And I almost left the rabbinate. I had a miscarriage second trimester with my first baby. And I was really angry with God. And 5 days later, I had to name a baby. And I just thought life was incredibly unfair, and I couldn't believe in that God. So I punished God. I gave all my Passover dishes to Russian immigrants and said I would never change dishes for Passover. Keep a kosher home strict. You know, I have 14 sets of dishes, but for that loss of faith, I will never change dishes for Passover, because once I make a decision... but I stopped praying for almost a year. I only prayed for work. I got up and prayed in the congregation, but I didn't pray personally. And so what is the lesson from that year of my life? Jonah. Because God gave me a baby anyway, which was really quite a blessing. I think the lesson is that I'm very respectful of people who lose faith during painful periods of their lives. And I now know for me that when you are experiencing great pain and get angry at God, that is also an act of faith, because people who don't believe don't have anything to get angry with. So I was really glad I had a God to be angry with. And I think in talking to my Christian friends and colleagues, that's another thing I love about being Jewish, because it's very Jewish to be angry at God. Rabbis are allowed to get angry at God. And so people ask me all the time, where is God, Rabbi? And my answer to people, I just gave it recently. God is when you put your feet on the floor, when you want to pull the covers up and say, I really can't do this anymore. And what makes you go on, for me, that's God. What's your favorite part of being a rabbi and a teacher? Teaching the children, bar mitzvah class, confirmation. That's probably the thing that I will miss most on a weekly basis, because they never cease to amaze me. And then they come back and remember things and live Jewish lives and Jewish values. And when you put your heart and soul into a student, all of our teachers experience this. The tradition teaches us that a child has three parents, a mother, a father, and a teacher who makes a difference. And so I've always looked at the privilege of being the teacher who makes the difference. And to be able to share your knowledge with people, I think that's really important. So I will answer any other of your questions. I think those, I do not have a favorite grandchild. Here's the last one. What is the hardest decision you have had to make as a rabbi? The hardest decision I think I've ever had to make was whether or not I could be part of a Judaism that wasn't ethical and that wasn't based on Torah. And I decided I could not. And so at a very young age, I decided if I was going to still do this, it was going to have to be based on ethics and values. And I was going to work with people who had ethics and values, and I was going to have a community that was based on ethics and values. And that's why I thank God every single day that we brought Rabbi Rappaport to this congregation. Because from the moment she and I sat and really talked, her ethics and her values really did shine through. And so it's a privilege to share that journey. And so I would say to you, I've worked with a lot of people over the years who've had employers who were unethical, who were in situations where they were asked to compromise their values. And I think when you do that, you compromise a part of yourself. So sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it means you don't take the straight trajectory. But ethics and values really always make a difference, and they always win out. Shabbat Shalom. Begin with Aleinu on page 615. Please rise. Aleinu l'shamer al We feel more keenly the loss of our loved ones at this time of the year, remembering back to New Year's of the past, thinking about the empty place at the table. And it is a little known fact that this is a time of transition in the Jewish calendar, and usually the longest Yahrzeit list of the year. We lose more loved ones around High Holy Day time than almost any other time. But as I look at the names of those we are remembering tonight, precious, precious people whose lives touched us in unimaginable ways, good, kind, wonderful human beings. I'm always reminded when I look at the Kaddish list that these are not names. These are people. These are lives. We put our arms around them and we hugged them and we prayed with them and we loved them. So we remember them with love. During our year of mourning, we remember with deep love and affection Bernie Rosemarin, Stephen Kamen, Laura Schick, Leon Bainwall, Carol Lewis, Ruth Margulies, Yetta Trachtenberg, Susan Feitelman. And we mourn the losses in the past 30 days for our members and the world. Sister Leonie Shanley, sister of Leo Shanley. Lowry Wooter, cousin of Rick Sernorsky. All who died in Texas during Hurricane Harvey and who died during Hurricane Irma. Gerald Zeff, friend of Jamie and Sandy Adams. Alice Hart, uncle of Julian Hart. Jim Willis, friend of Julian Hart. Gloria Dolberg, mother of David Dolberg. All who died in the Mexican earthquake, all who died during Hurricane Maria. And we mourn the Yahrzeits for our beloved members, Carrie Dolberg, son of David and Joan and B'nai Shalom. Harold Herman, husband of Anne and father of Tom. Larry Jaffe, husband of Judy and father of Lynn and Stephen. And Molly Goldstein. And we remember the yearly anniversaries of death, the Yahrzeits that fall this Shabbat and this week. Keld Brust, Naomi Tapper, Marion Cornell, Ned Stuttman, Ken Bruntel, Florence Dannon, William Kessler, Emma Gordon, Rose Skolnick, Bernard Tinkelman, Faga Tolman, Mark Biggs, Sylvia Goldstein, Alec Pekin, Meyer Handler, A. Robert Pfeffer, Norma Heiliser, Mel Hoffman, Sophie Holstein, Emmanuel Klimpel. I still see him sitting right in front of me. Simon Schmall, Dr. Gerald Goldman, Charles Biggleman, Naomi Edith, Elizabeth Engel, Louis Holzman, Nathan Kamensky, Harriet Hirsch, David Konigsberg, Dottie Schick, Arthur Schulman, Marianne Fieri, Margaret Keel, Goldie Wasserman, David Langstein, Michael Cimini, Herman Drasnin, Craig Silcox, Ruth Marcus, Ira Nathanson, Gail White, Melvin Frankel, Susan Glinberg, Adele Potash. I saw you. Zichronam Livracha. May all of their memories bless our lives. As we wrap ourselves in love, we rise for the Kaddish on page 629. Yit Gadol V'Yit Kadosh Shmei Racha. Amen. Can be found on page 719. And if you are a long-distance member of Temple B'nai Shalom who came especially for High Holy Days, Bar Max, why don't you come on up? Anybody else a long-distance member of Temple B'nai Shalom who schlepped here from another place just to join us for High Holy Days? We are so glad that you are still members.
So will we.
Which just goes to show you retire, you move to other places, you stay a member. That's a rule. Right, Mr. Treasurer?
Absolutely.
We read together. The seventh day is consecrated to the Lord our God. With wine, our symbol of joy, we celebrate this day and its holiness. We give thanks for all our blessings, for life and health, for work and rest, for home and love and friendship. On Shabbat, eternal sign of creation, we remember that we are created in the divine image. We therefore raise the cup in thanksgiving. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, vareinu rihagafen. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kitchanu l'mitzvotav, v'ratzavanu, v'shabbat kodesho, b'ahava u'ratzon. You may may be seated. El challah is so big that I think if we cut slices, you could all have French toast tomorrow.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. My name is David Sherrington. I'm the president of Temple B'nai Shalom. So pleased to see everyone here for Shabbat worship. Thank you, Rabbi Perlin, for leading us in worship this evening and answering our questions. Thank you, Rachel, for leading us with your beautiful voice and music this evening. Please join us next Friday, September 29th, for Kol Nidre. Worship services begin at 8 p.m. Morning Yom Kippur services on Saturday, September 30th, begin at 9:30, and family Yom Kippur services begin at 2 p.m. Also, we will have, pay attention to this one. Pay attention to this next part, if nothing else I say this evening. We have overflow parking available at the Sikh Temple, which is located north on Route 123, pretty much across from the Burke Lake Park entrance, so slightly south of that, but that's the area, and the address is available in the weekly email and so forth. But that's where the overflow parking is going to be. Why? Because also I'm going to say be aware that our dear neighbors next door at Christ Church will be holding their annual children's consignment sale on Saturday morning. So during rush hour, well, I guess Saturday morning is not rush hour, but it's going to be rush hour here because a lot of people are going to be going there. In fact, in years when they've had that, it didn't coincide with our High Holy Day. People were trying to park in our parking lot from the sale. So it's a lot of cars are going to be coming here, and so leave extra time. So you guys get the special advice about be here early on a Saturday morning because it's going to be a difficult morning to get here. Look for, if you are at the Sikh Temple, please look for TBS members to help direct you the area reserved for our members to park, and please be courteous to our friends at the Sikh Temple. It's very nice for them to help us out at this time. Looking for a few activities following the High Holidays on Sunday, October 1st, please join Brotherhood to put up the sukkah. On October 5th, Sisterhood is getting together for dinner and a movie. More information is available in the weekly email and on the Sisterhood Facebook page. Please RSVP. On Saturday, October 7th, TBS is joining the Burke Ward of the Mormon Church by packing activity bags and making blankets for the Main Street Child Development Center in Fairfax. Separate but important blanket raising issues. Please bring new blankets to TBS for homeless veterans in our area. We'll be collecting new blankets through October 15th. Please contact Jim Sturm regarding either of these social action activities. And finally, contact Jim Sturm about the next installment of the Civil Discourse Forum, which will be held on Wednesday, October 18th. Please come if you have been to an earlier session, and please come if you haven't. It will be relevant and interesting for all. If you're new to TBS, welcome. If you have any questions or would like more information, members of our board or membership committee would love to speak with you. This evening, Sue Calwait, who's our board member and officer at the door tonight, Sue Calwait would be very interested in speaking to you at our Oneg, our Shabbat Oneg. So if you have any questions, please see Sue then. Wishing you all a very restful weekend. Shabbat shalom.
Our closing song tonight in the theme of being traditional is Adon Olam on page 729. I'm really glad we chose this because it makes Stan Pekin happy. So for no other reason, you know, I pick it for you. Good.
Adon Olam Asher Malach B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra Li'ed Nasa V'chef Soko Azay Melek Shemo Nikra V'yachare Kichlod Hakol Levado Yimloch Nora V'hu Haya V'hu Hove V'hu Yiyeh B'tif Barah V'hu
rise for the benediction. Baruch atah b'vo'echa, baruch atah b'tzeitecha. You brought so much blessing to this sanctuary tonight. May you take an abundance of blessing with you as you leave. Shabbat shalom and Happy New Year. Shabbat shalom.